Die goudmyngroep Goldfields het vandag resultate vir sy boekjaar tot einde Desember bekend gemaak. Die groep het 'n netto verlies van $348 miljoen gelei en dit is heelwat meer as die $19 miljoen wat die groep in 2017 verloor het. Die groep het egter 'n finale dividend van 20 sent per aandeel verklaar, wat die totale dividend vir die jaar tot 40 sent per aandeel opgestoot het. En dit is heelwat laer as die totale dividend van 90 sent per aandeel wat in 2017 aan aandeelhouers betaal is. En dit volg nadat die maatskappy wesentlik in verskeie internasionale mynprojekte belê het en sy Suid-Afrikaanse myn South Deep wat nie produksietekens kon behaal nie. South Deep is natuurlik die naasgrootste goudmyn in die wêreld. Die grootste goudmyn is die Grasberg myn in Indonesië. Op die lyn is Nick Holland, hy is die uitvoerende hoof van Goldfields. Nick, welcome to the show. It seems as if it was a tough year, especially at South Deep.
I think it's a year of two contrasting outcomes. You know, one on the international asset side, which make up, as you were saying, 90% of our production. The mines all exceeded their targets, so they did extremely well, and they made around $500 million of bottom line cash before our project, so I couldn't have asked for more. Of course, the South Deep operation didn't do well, but we got to see that against the backdrop that we deliberately went into a significant restructuring on the operation. We've curtailed the workforce over the year from 4,000 down to 2,500. That has taken around about 800 million rand a year out of the cost base, but it cost us a 45-day strike, and it cost us a go slow for around about another 45 days before that. So really the operation lost almost half a year of production. So when that happens, obviously the results are never going to be pretty. But the good news is it's resolved now. The strike has concluded. The people have gone, and we have taken over a billion rand a year out of the cost base. And one might argue that we should have done this years ago, but these decisions are never taken lightly, and often you try other initiatives before you go the more draconian route. But we've had to go there. We've done it. It's been tough. But I think the team is now in a much better space. The morale has improved, and we're starting to regroup. You know, the ore body is there. I mean, as you say, it's one of the largest ore bodies in the world. It's not that it's not there. We've spent huge amounts of money on the infrastructure. We've just got to get our execution better. So with all of this that we've done, and along with significant productivity improvements and programs related to that, we feel more confident that the fairly modest target for 19 should be able to be achieved. And we're putting out a target that is lower than what we've actually achieved before, but of course against a lower cost footprint and with less people.
You have, as you've said, invested a significant amount of money in the mine, but it doesn't seem to quite perform to expectations. Do you foresee the performance improving with the steps you've taken within the context of the performance over the past few years?
Well, certainly, we're not really calling for a big improvement in performance this year. Actually, all we're looking to do is achieve the same run rate we did for the first half of the year, last year, for the full year, albeit at a lower cost base. So we're not actually calling to do better, but in the process, if we can achieve that run rate with the lower cost base, then we'll get closer to a break-even position. And I think that's the first important step here, is let's stop the cash outflows, because we just can't continue to do so well internationally and then give some of it away locally. So we're not calling for a huge improvement. You know, we're just calling to consolidate our production around a lower cost base and then move on from there. I mean, this is not saying that we're content with that, but let's move up the curve once we've achieved short-term goals and not get away carried away with ourselves in terms of trying to chase big dreams that we continue to fail with. So it's a very conservative approach that we've adopted that we hope will actually create a better base for the future.
I don't know if you are in South Africa, but we've been really battling with load shedding in the past week. And of course, Marco Defani at Anglo American said at the mining in Durban that Eskom poses the biggest risk for the mining industry. Did South Deep suffer as a consequence of load shedding?
Well, we are not on load shedding. We're on what we call load curtailment, which means that we can have some advance warning. And one of the silver linings, I suppose, of only operating at a third of your capacity is we can afford to do some load shedding because we can move things around. You know, we can hoist our rock at different times. We can run our process plant on a campaign basis when we need to, etc. So that's one of the silver linings of being where we are. But in all seriousness, obviously, we hope to pick up our volume. And this Eskom crisis is not a short-term solution. Now, this has been 20 years in the making. I'm not convinced that Eskom can be fixed while it continues to be run by the government. It needs to be privatized, broken up, and put on a new pathway. Whether or not there's the political will to achieve that is questionable. But what it does do, at least, is it forces business now to consider other power solutions. And we're going to be looking, again, at renewables, solar. We've done a lot of work. And over time, I think you're going to find the country will find its own solutions on energy. We just cannot rely on Eskom. That's going to continue to disappoint us for years to come.
How much would that add to your cost base?
Eskom makes up around 15% of our total costs. You know, the last numbers we did on solar is that actually it's cheaper than buying off the grid. And, of course, if Eskom is granted the kind of increases they're looking for, then it's going to be even more cheaper as we compound the effect. You know, Eskom has grown their energy costs by 400 to 500% in the mining industry over the last 8 years. It's crazy. So we need another solution. It's going to be cheaper. You can get over-the-fence deals where the capital is already provided, secured by long-term offtake agreements. So there's innovative solutions we can put in place here. And I think that's what business is going to have to do. We just can't wait for Eskom to be fixed.
We are seeing a lot of political noise at the moment. We have a new president who is actually very pro-business, and the mining sector has been identified as one to which the president want to attract some investment because it can create jobs. What is your relationship with the president, and do you think his attempts can be successful to attract meaningful investment into the sector?
Well, of course, the president has been involved in mining both from a business perspective and also from an organized labor perspective. So, of course, we know him well. And I think he's got a very good perspective as to what the challenges are for the industry. I think they've gone some way to try and improve the investment climate with a new mining charter. But there still remain some outstanding issues on things like license renewals, which are a big problem that has to be solved. You know, there's further imposts being imposed on the industry. So I think there's still some ways to go. And organized labor continues to look for above inflation increases with lower productivity, and that's not a good net result for the industry. So there's quite a lot of work to do. The best way forward is really for all of the parties to work together, organized labor, government, business, and try and find a solution. So he's trying to do that, but there's a long way to go and there's a lot of work to do.
Apart from South Deep, are you looking at any other investments in South Africa?
No, we wouldn't be investing more in the gold space here, principally because, you know, most of the gold that still exists in the ground here is very deep. You would need new technology to extract it, particularly with worsening rock conditions at depth, in situ in the rock. So, no, we are looking further afield. I mean, we are the number two gold producer in Western Australia. That's 50% of our production. In Ghana, we are the second largest producer. That's a third of our production. And then we have a mine in Peru and a project that we're looking to build in Chile in South America. Those are going to be the areas that we'll focus on into the future.
Do you have similar regulatory and labor issues in those international operations compared to South Africa?
Australia is a very skilled environment. It's got a good mining culture. Skills are available, high levels of productivity. Labor is not cheap, but labor is well skilled. Ghana is one of the best places in Africa to mine. The quality of the miners is exceptional. They've got a very good education system, grassroots education all the way through to tertiary. Good place to be. Peru as well, a well-established mining jurisdiction. And Chile, regulatory environment, I think, is reasonably friendly. And these are areas that we wouldn't hesitate to spend more money.
Dit was Nick Holland, die uitvoerende hoof van Gold Fields.